right. Well, good evening. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. As you can see, our song leader is not here today. He's on a little vacation. And so we are going to have to skip the songs today because I have to go back and forth. But no problem. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through these announcements here. We'll get right into the prayer and praise list, and then we will get to tonight's message. So if you have a bulletin on the inside there, under weekly church service times, you can see Sunday mornings, 10:30. Sunday evenings are at 6. And Wednesdays, prayer and preaching is at 7 p.m. Underneath that is a list of soul winning times. Soul winning is when we go out to the community to preach the gospel to the lost. And this month we're doing a challenge called May Day, the May Day Soul Winning Challenge. And it's so we're going every single day. So if you would like to go with me and you want to wait till later in the evening, it's no problem. Dial 208-391-5323 just to let me know. Let's see, your next page this Sunday evening will be in the book of 2 Kings. We'll be in chapter number 20, and we'll be finishing up the legacy of Hezekiah. Let's see here. Don't forget to come join us May 14th for Mother's Day. There will be a special gift for all the mothers in attendance. Birthdays and anniversaries. So Miss Joanna's birthday was on the 1st. Verse of the week is Proverbs 12:16, which says, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." And of course, we talked about that on Sunday morning. Let's see here. We are a family integrated church. So what that means is we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. If you need privacy, dads, you can take your children to this first room here on your left. Moms, you're going to walk through this first room on your left. And your room is right across the hallway over there. And there's a monitor in there all set up and ready to go for you. Let's see here. Don't forget to turn your phones off or place them on silent so they are not a distraction. And with that being said, we're going to move into the prayer list. So again, if you have a prayer request or a praise, you can fill out a little note card and put it in that box back there. Or you can text me. And if I missed it, just hound me until it gets on the prayer list. That's the best way for you to do that. So with that being said, let's get right into this prayer list. All right. Thank you so much, Lord. We just want to pray that you would help us to be able to communicate the gospel to those that are in our everyday lives, people at work and that we know. We just pray that you would open up those doors for us, Lord, to be able to win them to you. And we want to continue to pray for more interest in the community regarding the truth and discipleship. And we just pray, Lord, that you would lead us to those people. And we want to also pray for our friend churches that are like-minded. And we want to pray for their protection and safety. And we just want to pray that the workers of iniquity would not gain a foothold on them. We want to continue to pray for wicked leaders to be exposed in our local, federal, state governments. And we want to continue to pray for Brother Skulk that he has a great and safe work season this year. And also we want to pray for Miss Maribel, who is with child. We want to pray that that goes smoothly, Lord, and that you would keep her comfortable and bless their family. And let's see here. We also want to pray for Brother Skulk's parents that they can make their visit safe. And, of course, we want to pray for the safe travels of those that are coming to visit. We have several online prayer requests as well. We want to pray for Brother Joe Maples that his health would continue to improve and his blood pressure would not go up any higher. And we also would like to continue to pray for his family, for their well-being, and that they would be blessed by that. I want to pray for Brother John Cole Morgan, who moved to San Francisco recently to get settled in. And we want to pray for Brother Evan and his family as they gear up to travel back to the U.S. to do work and to relocate. I want to pray for Miss Michelle Arrowwood for Unspoken, for eyesight to improve, and for healing for her dental work that she had to undergo recently. And we have a request from Sonic Fan. We just pray for his encouragement, for their encouragement, and for the gift of organization, that his organization would improve. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we did have a praise come in this week, and it's from Brother Evan and his family. They went on the soul winning event that Faithful Word put on in Germany, and they had 41 salvations and 8 baptisms, and so overall a great weekend. And so he said that was a great blessing. So I'm encouraged by that. I hope you guys are encouraged by that as well. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and do what I've got to do back here while Kinley plays a little bit of a song. All right. Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. We're actually going to be talking about the story in Luke 15 regarding what's called the prodigal son tonight. We're going to be explaining that, but we have to set some groundwork before we move into that story. So I'm going to start off here by giving you the title. The title of the sermon this evening is Pigpen Christians. Pigpen Christians. And of course, I'm going to explain what that means as we go on. But this is one of those stories that I want to make sure that everybody in here is familiar with, because as you all know, that we live in a heavily, I'll just say, churched area. And a lot of people are familiar with this story. And the problem is that, as you know, the prodigal son is a story that is heavily abused and often used, or misused, I should say, to teach that you can lose your salvation and things of that nature. And I've also heard it taught in ways where it just leaves people confused and wondering if they're even saved. So with that being said, regarding tonight's story, you see this board that I have over here. I'm just going to explain this here real quick. So basically, in the story here in Luke chapter 15, you're gonna have two guys, okay, and they both find themselves in one of these three categories, okay, and we're gonna get right to this. So basically, if you were to take a piece of paper or take something like this, you just draw two lines down either side. It's about 7 inches from either end, and what I did is I wrote the word license on this side. I've got fellowship down the middle and legalism. So what you're going to see right off the bat in Luke chapter 15 is that one of the sons moves from this category to this category, and one of them pretty much is over here, but you would never know that until this person moves over here, okay? And so, of course, I'm going to explain. What do I mean by license? What does that mean? Well, who's ever heard of the term, or who's ever maybe been accused out soul winning? Or you're saying that God gives people a license to sin.
Yeah, a lot of people have heard that. I've heard that countless times. A lot of people will say, oh, so you preach cheap grace. You're saying that I don't have to turn from sins, or people don't have to give up their sins to be a Christian. That's preposterous. You're saying that you just have a license to do whatever you want. And look, the issue is not about a license, okay? We don't have a license to sin. We have a crisis that sins. And that crisis is your flesh. That crisis is the old man. And the fact of the matter is, no one can get rid of that. Yes, we can minimize it. And yes, we can do things to make sure that if we're in one of these categories, to go back in the middle. Because the idea here is that you want to stay in between the lines. Okay, just remember that for this sermon this evening. Our job as Christians, our goal, and what the Bible commands of us, is that we stay between the lines, that we learn what is on either side, and we make sure that we are right there in the middle. But back to this license here, okay? Some people, unfortunately, do live their lives like they have a license to sin. And so that's why that category is over there on the left side of the board as you're looking at it. So if you're in Romans chapter number 7, look down at verse number 15, and this will explain what I just said. We don't have a license to sin, but we have a crisis that sins. Look at what Paul says in Romans 7, verse 15. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate," now don't miss this, "that I do." Okay, that is the reality that we live in here. As long as you have the old man, as long as you have the flesh, this is something that we just have to be honest with, and something that we have to learn how to combat on a daily basis. Okay, so that'll take care of that side. But what about over here? What about the legalist side? Hey, legalism is, I would say, an overly strict adherence to laws that are either perceived or maybe perceived as implicit, different types of standards and things like that. For example, okay, people that are real big on not having a Christmas tree, okay? Sometimes these people will take that doctrine that they have and judge other people's faith. They'll judge whether or not somebody is in one of these categories on the right or the left based on whether or not they have a Christmas tree or they celebrate a holiday, celebrate Christmas. Another one, I know people who think that they're better than others because they don't use the word Easter. They use the word Resurrection Sunday. You know, we don't use that word Easter. That's an old word for Ishtar. That's false doctrine, by the way. But you see where I'm going. I mean, you could do this all day long. There are people out there, you know, that are saved, that are born again. They will say things like, well, you know, if a woman gets her hair cut even up to the shoulders, you know, that's too short, and, you know, they want to make that a big deal and want to fight over things like that. Okay, that's legalism. That is not a category that we want to find ourselves in. And here's the thing. Legalism is very pernicious, okay? And what pernicious means is harmful in a subtle way. Okay, a lot of times it's very difficult to spot somebody when they're in this category, and that's really what you're going to see tonight in the story of the prodigal son. Now, if you would, turn to 1 John chapter number 1, and let's talk about this middle category here of fellowship. What is the deal there? Fellowship, okay? Well, if you would, look at 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse number 3. It says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also," or that ye also may have fellowship with us. So what John is declaring here is that his goal in writing this epistle is for fellowship. Okay, and he says that may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Okay, we're going to come back to that one here in a little while. Look at verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Verse number 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Now, when we go to Luke chapter 15, you are going to see this guy here. Okay, the older son in that story, if you're familiar with it, basically fulfill this. He's going to be the kind of guy that says that he's walking in truth, walking in fellowship, but you're going to see that he's not in the middle category. He is in this category right here. Okay, so verse 6 again, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Okay, what do you have to do to be saved? We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about doing the truth. Okay, he's talking about being a doer, not just a hearer, like we talked about last Wednesday. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Okay, I want these in the forefront of your mind before we get to the story. Now, last place I want to have you turn before we go to Luke 15 is Proverbs chapter number 11. Actually, we're going to go to two Proverbs, but turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 11. So if you look, you go into Proverbs chapter 11, if you look at this board here, okay, and you're in between the lines where God wants us, okay, and you start veering off this way here, you are off balance. You are no longer in balance, okay? But I just want to show you what the Bible says about that. Proverbs 11 verse 1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Go to Proverbs chapter number 20, and we're going to look over in verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 23 says this, diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Okay, so what I want you to understand is that when we as believers wind up moving from this middle category, when we can no longer stay or we no longer are staying in between the lines, we have crossed over into that which is not good, okay, into a false balance. And so tonight's sermon is, well, it's twofold, obviously. It's to help give you the ammunition and the truth to be able to teach people what this is really talking about, but also to give you some encouragement should you find yourself on one side of the aisle or the other. Now, if you would, go over to Luke chapter number 15, and we're going to start going through this parable here. Luke chapter number 15. All right, so let's start this off here. In verse number 11 of Luke chapter 15, this is Jesus speaking here, and he says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Okay? A certain man had two sons. So let's start. We're actually going to leave him there because that's kind of where he belongs. A certain man had two sons. Now, hopefully one thing that comes immediately into your mind, if not, write this down so that you remember this later on. These two people, these two sons, they're sons. Okay, these guys are already in the family. Okay, that's important because metaphorically, what this parable is going to teach us is that God has, I guess you could say, we'll just go with what we have on the board here, three types of sons. Okay, and obviously these two categories are extremes, and there's little bits of, you know, sometimes we kind of dabble in these in thought and in our actions. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm talking about parking it in one side or the other. Okay, so metaphorically, God has, we're going to say, three types of sons. You've got your people over here, you've got your people over here, and then you have where we are supposed to be, right here in fellowship with Christ. But back to the story here in this parable, this certain man has two sons. They are in the family. They can never not be the sons of their father. Verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Okay, so obviously both sons get this. Verse 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, according to that verse there, who's the one that moved? It was the son. He moved from fellowship after getting his inheritance over here, okay? So he's literally living like he has a license to just do whatever he wants to do. He is now fully in the world, or the pig pen. And by the way, the conclusion that we're going to come to is that both of these sides are a pig pen, and one of them is actually worse than the other. Okay. But an important note to make, this guy here, he is the one who decided to do this. He moves to a far country. He gets far away. It wasn't the father that moved. It was the son that moved. And he said, the verse says, "They're wasted his substance with riotous living." Okay. So he is just obviously out of control here. Verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." So now we can see here that he is starting to have a rough time. He is starting to lack because he wasted his substance with riotous living. Okay, verse 15. "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." There you have it now. The son who was in fellowship has now entered into the license category or the pig pen, and now he is feeding swine. And hopefully what you're starting to see here is, notice what the son does right off the bat. He starts having a rough time. He goes to someone in the world. He goes to someone else who is just out here for help. Okay? And do they really help him? And the answer is no. This guy is so down on life that he's literally feeding unclean animals. And that is obviously a picture of us when we decide to do the same thing. We decide to move out of this category and into that category and just fully go on into the world. It's unclean, okay? And what does the world do? The world extracts. The world takes. It does not give. If it does, it expects something in return. Verse 16. "And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Okay, so see, this just keeps getting worse and worse and worse for this son. So we have to understand that the world is under the law. Whether they know that or they reject that or they don't know that, they are under the law. And the Bible says that the letter killeth. The law kills. The law judge. The law does not give you anything. Okay? And that's the picture that you're seeing here. No man gave unto him. Okay? That is the cruel reality of the world, especially for believers. This is why we always say you cannot live by the same rules as the children of this world. I mean, this, you know, works out all the time here. Let's say you take a guy who's been driving for 40 years, okay, never had a speeding ticket, never been in trouble, okay, decides one day he's just, you know, not paying attention, and he starts going 45 in a school zone, okay, there's no kids around, but the yellow light's flashing 20 miles an hour, and this dude's just sailing along 45 miles an hour, and he gets pulled over. What do you think is going to happen to him? Is he going to be able to say, well, the last 40 years I obeyed and I followed the law, therefore, shouldn't I get a break? More than likely, the police officer or the judge is going to say, you violated the law, you put people in danger, here's your ticket, have a nice day. Because that is what the law can do for you. That is all that the law can do for you. It brings us, it basically exposes wrong. Okay, and so that is the position that the younger son has found himself in. Now look at verse 17. "And when he came to himself," okay, so he hits rock bottom. The only way to really look is up. So what happens? "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." Okay, so he's looking around and he's remembering his days in this category right here. Okay, and so what does that mean? He came to himself. Well, he's starting to repent. He's starting to turn. He is starting to change his mind about his actions. That is what he's doing. But again, keep in mind, he is a son. Nowhere in here did it say that he lost his sonship. Okay, same thing for us. When you are the son or daughter of Christ, guess what? That applies to you as well. So if you would, look at the verse again. It says, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. So again, the best thing that the world has to offer is a pig pen compared to the joy that you can have in fellowship with God. That is the lesson that this young man has learned. Look at verse number 18. It says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And again, you know, we are the children of God. What we do here on this earth is in front of heaven, but it's also obviously in front of God. It has consequences. It affects the kingdom of God in the here and now because people see what you're doing. People hear about what you're doing. Things get out. Okay, verse 19. Look what he's saying here. Very important. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So this guy really feels bad about his decisions and what he's done. And how many people have you met? How many people, or maybe you've, you know, been in this category? I would imagine all of us at some point in our lives have been in this category where we just feel like we're not even worthy, you know? And the fact is, no one is. Okay, that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. But look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. Now, this is very important here. Look what happens next. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So as soon as he, in his heart and in his mind, okay, he comes to himself and he has this conversation with himself saying, I'm not even worthy. Okay, he begins to turn the course. Okay, he begins to say, this is no longer where I want to be. And he starts heading this direction. What happens? The father sees him afar off and instantly snatches him up and brings him right back in to that category. Okay, so verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Okay, so again, this guy here, he's definitely sorry, definitely, you know, feels bad, and he wants to bring punishment on himself. He's, you know, basically saying, hey, just make me a hired servant. Look at the very next word in verse 22. But. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now, I believe what this metaphorically pictures here are the angels, because the Bible says that the angels are ministers to them that are going to obviously inherit eternal life. So it says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now, here's the thing. What most people do in verse 21 type situations, okay, what most churches teach and where most people are at, is most people insert a whole nother verse in between those, okay, and say, well, wait a second. There needs to be some penance. There needs to be some sort of payment. Okay, there needs to be some. This guy's got to pay the price for what he's done. He owes something. But what's the response of the father? Does he say, yeah, that's right, you're jacked up? Okay, and this isn't a lesson in parenting. This is this is a picture of how we fit into the kingdom of God, okay? What does the father say? He said, well, the Bible says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Take care of him. That's what the father does. He says, take care of him. He doesn't even acknowledge what the son said. He doesn't even bring it up. He's not like, well, I'll consider making you as a hired servant for what you did, and then we'll talk and bring you back. He doesn't do that. He just skips right over that, brings him right back, and holds him in this category because that is where he wants to be. Verse 23, it gets better. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Okay, now, again, I'm just going to do this for illustrative purposes, because people will see that word lost there and say, oh, he lost his salvation. That's impossible. He was already a son. Okay, so again, this is how he was lost. Okay, he lost his fellowship. That's all he lost because he decided to move. He decided to stay over here. He wanted to be here. That is what that verse is talking about. But now he's back right there where he belongs. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. Because the question is, what? Why isn't there no demand for payment? Why does the father act like this? Where's the, you know, where's the spankings? Where's the kneeling on the bed, a bed of rice? Where's the Hail Marys that the Catholic Church would say? Where's the period of proof that you need to prove to people that you're really a believer now and that you're really saved? There's none of that. Okay, there's none of that. Instant fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse number 14. And this will clear that up. It says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Okay? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, rose again the third day. That offering perfected forever one time everyone who would decide to put their faith and trust on Christ and receive salvation and thus being sanctified or made holy by him. Okay? Verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17, here it is. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's exactly what you see in the story here with the prodigal son. Verse 18, now a remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Go to 1 John, 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1, one more time. 1 John chapter number 1. First John chapter number 1, verse number 6, one more time. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, this prodigal son, he understood that in this category. He understood what that meant and decided, you know what, I want to do the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So when we decide to move from this category over here or even over here, okay, it affects our fellowship, not our position in Christ, not our salvation. And I know, I understand you guys know that, but that is what this story is telling us. And again, when people come at you, well, it says he was lost. Yeah, he lost his position. He lost his fellowship with his father. That's all. That is what the father is excited about, that he came back. Because as soon as the father sees him, hey, it's all done and forgotten. Okay, that is how God looks at us when we humble ourselves and we decide, you know what, we need to confess our own sins to the Lord so that we can restore fellowship with him. Okay, and what does verse 4 say of 1 John chapter 1? That when we are in fellowship, that our joy is restored. Okay, that is the place where you and I are going to be the happiest in our lives when we stay between the lines. Because as a child of God, when we get out of balance, it is not good. That is what the Proverbs tell us. So go back to Luke chapter number 15. And of course, we know that the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's exactly what this guy does. And the Lord receives him in an instant. Okay, he doesn't say, okay, I'm going to set you over here on a shelf. Make sure you're serious. You know, make sure you pay something. No, the guy was definitely serious. And the father could see that and he knows that. And that is how our God is. Okay, now let's look now at the other son. Okay. Remember, we as believers are not under the law. So that would answer the question is why the father doesn't make him do this big payment and things of that nature. Okay, look at verse number 25. Now his elder son was in the field. Okay, now if you were to just read that, you know, I would be like, okay, I don't know this guy. Maybe he's over here. Okay, but let's see if that's true. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Verse 28. Here it is. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. So in this story, at some point in this guy's life, he crept over here, but we didn't even realize it until this guy decides to come back here. But the whole time he was over here, this guy was like in his heart, and you can tell by the story, just like, oh yeah, I'm better than he is. I'm better than he is. And that makes me feel good. I'm good because my brother is worse. How many people today live like that? Okay, that is the pernicious ways of legalism. So again, verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. So again, the father wants to get both people back in between the lines where they belong. Verse 29, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Now look at this. Tell me if you think this is true or not. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. So again, how is this guy acting? This guy is acting envious. He is envious that this guy made the right decision to go back in fellowship, automatically telling you that this guy is not over here and in the story was never over here. He was right here. But you don't even know that until the other son gets a blessing. Okay? So his attitude is, I'm good because my brother is worse off. And he says this here, which is obviously a lie. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Right, you guys, everybody in here knows that's a lie. Not true. This guy at some point did transgress the law. And that's just what the Bible says. We all sin on a daily basis. Okay? Verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, so look what he says. He says, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Okay, and that's something that you and I need to understand, that we need to realize that God has given us gifts. God has given us breath. God has given us the ability to work as hard as we want for Him and to be in that joy of fellowship. But you know what? It is up to us. We are the ones that make the effort to move on either side. But I would say that this side here, the legalism, that is the sneaky one there. That is one that will creep up on you and you won't even know it, that maybe you're in there or someone else is in there until a situation like this arises. And you start to see that. Obviously, this is definitely wrong here. Being envious of your brother doing right, that is horrible, okay? That is absolutely horrible. And then what does he do? He holds these things over his head. He wants to keep bringing up the past. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. You know, and that's the attitude that a lot of these so-called Christians have in regards to us today. Saying, oh, all I have to do is just believe and just say a prayer, and I'm saved. Because someone else already did the work. And that's what I'm saying. But again, we're not saying you have a license to sin. You have a crisis that sins, and that is the flesh. That's Romans chapter 7 through and through. And by the way, if you want a good, we don't have time to go there, but you want a good audit, a good, a little deeper understanding of legalism, go read Romans chapter 14 on your own time. And Paul explains that. We've gone over that recently, so I don't want to get there, but let's look at verse 31. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry. Okay, so the father's saying, hey, this is the right thing to do, to be excited. You know, I know from experience when we see people who maybe get out of church, they get out of fellowship with the congregation, they get out of fellowship with God, and you see them come back, you're glad and you're happy. Okay. Now, God forbid, hopefully you don't meet somebody like this, but they are out there. Okay. Verse 32, it was meet. Okay. It was satisfactory. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, so again, look at the language here. Thy brother, they're both saved. They're both sons. They're both in the family. They're just out of balance. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Again, when people bring this up to you, your response is, he was a son. He was always a son. He was lost regarding position. Okay, that is it. Lost regarding position. Now, if you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're getting close to being done. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're going to look here just at three verses and we will be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 9. So Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says this, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." Verse 10, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." Sounds complicated, okay? But what he's saying is regarding the rebuke. Okay, regarding their rebuke from 1 Corinthians, regarding the guy that was just doing all this crazy stuff, he's saying, hey, if the guy's overcome with sorrow and he's done, okay, receive him back. And he says, whoever you guys forgive, he's like, I don't even need to do an audit. I forgive too. Okay, that should be our attitude. Okay, we should be quick to forgive our brethren because guess what? The world does the exact opposite. The world, being under the law, what do? They want to keep extracting and taking and taking and taking because that is all the law can do. That is all that the world can do. It is a pig pen, and that is why you have this issue here. Now, here is the grand finale. Look at verse number 11. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Devices, plural. He has a lot of devices. Modern Bible versions. He's got the pig pen set up as something grand and glorious. But this one right here, this one on your right, this category of legalism, again, it is very subtle. It is very pernicious. It is very damaging. And I want to make sure that we understand that when we are in this category, people are on the side here, they are unfortunately caught in a device of Satan. And back to the story in Luke chapter 15, if you notice the way the story ends, it just kind of abruptly ends with just, you know, an entreat. Just the father saying, hey, you know, everything I had was always yours. And what we're doing for your younger brother is satisfactory. It's me. But you don't get told what happens to the older brother. Does he move back to fellowship? Now, obviously, people in life can go from here to fellowship. That any believer can. But the reason why I personally believe that the story cuts off right there is because most people in this category, unfortunately, never make it back over here. Because once you get over here, you're caught in that web of pride and just all sorts of trouble. And boy, is it tough. Boy, is it hard. Look, you're better off over here. I'm just saying, you're better off over here than you are in this category, because this one here is very difficult to wake somebody up to, but it can be done through prayer. It can be done through tactful admonitions and things of that nature. So we're going to stop it right there. Hopefully that makes sense. Again, you know, something very quickly you could draw for someone out soul winning if you have your soul winning bag with you, or if you just simply have a sheet of paper. Again, just draw two lines, you know, on either side of the page there and just write that down, or however it makes sense. You don't have to write license and legalism. You could write pig pen, even though they're both pig pens, if you ask me. But you could just explain to them and walk them through the story very quickly and get them to understand it. Okay. And again, your go-to is going back to the verse where it says he's a son. Go back to verse 11, okay? And then obviously working through the story, you can see that the father's not like, you need to get resaved. You need to go back in your mom's womb and try this over again. Nothing of that sort. He simply receives him right back into fellowship. Why? Because the sin debt has already been paid. Why are we caught up trying to continuously pay for it? And so again, that also does bring up the fact that if you are over here and you kind of feel like the prodigal son did, know and be glad and rejoice that the Father has got you right back here. As soon as you say, hey, you know, as soon as you are faithful and just to confess your sins, he is right there looking looking at you afar off, bringing you right back into that fellowship. So stop letting that voice in your head beat you down and tell you, oh, you still, oh God, he's still mad at you. Okay? No. If you have that heart that's in 1 John chapter 2 that says, you know, as long as we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us ours, because forgiveness is tied to fellowship, okay? You're going to be right back in. You're going to understand that, okay? And so that is going to conclude tonight's study. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for the truth that you continuously bring us week after week. I just pray you bless the fellowship after the service and bring us back again safely on Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.